This is the word of God found in James chapter 4, verse 7. A text I've tried to speak on before, but my mind's there again. James 4 and 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We have an enemy, an adversary, even while we live here in the earth. And the word adversary is sometimes left in the Hebrew translation. It is Satan. If you wonder who that is, Revelation 12 tells us that there are four names commonly used for him throughout the scripture. This is Revelation chapter 12, and it says in verse 9, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." You say, well, that links all four of those names. The dragon, the great dragon, the old serpent called the devil and Satan. Four different names for the same being is him. You ever wondered how to reconcile the scriptures that tell us to be haters and tell us to be prayers? There's a scripture in Psalm 139. It's a very beautiful psalm. It's how the Lord is with us wherever we may be and wherever we go. But listen to this ending that the Holy Spirit inspired David to write. Psalm 139, verses 21 and 22. "Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies." Wow. Did you ever know that? That the Scripture teaches us to be haters? It does. Well, what about what the Lord taught on the mount to his disciples when he said, "Ye have heard it said of them of old time, that thou shalt love them that love thee and hate them that hate thee. But I say unto thee, that thou pray for thine enemies, that thou bless them that despitefully use thee, that thou mightest be the children of thy Father which is in heaven, for he sends his rain upon the just and the unjust." How do you put those together? Well, the fact of the matter is, our enemies may not be God's enemies. Have you ever thought about that? That somebody might not like you, or you might not like them, and God loves you both. That ever occurred to you? So this is not talking about hating your enemies. You're not supposed to hate your enemies. You're supposed to pray for your enemies. This is talking about hating God's enemies. That's what the language says. He says, "Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies." So those that are your enemies, pray for them. Those that are God's enemies, not only should you hate them, you should also count them your enemies. Now, what do I mean by God's enemies? Do I mean somebody that believes something different than we do? No, no. Somebody, because they may be brought up in or trapped in or persuaded by some false belief, that's sad to us. We ought to pray for them. Pray for your enemies. We ought to try to share truth. We ought to try to love them. We ought not to hate them. So what does it mean to hate God's enemies? Well, we have some clue in the sixth chapter of Ephesians when it tells us that who we wrestle against and who we don't wrestle against. Over in Ephesians chapter 6, starting with verse 11, let me start with verse 10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." Okay, there's one thing that you hold in mind. God's enemies that you're supposed to wrestle against are not flesh and blood. You deal with a human being who happens to be your enemy by praying for them, forgiving them, blessing them. "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Those enemies of God that we really ought to hate, and we ought to practice hating, and we ought to develop a full, mature hatred for. Do sometimes maybe children of God out there listening to this that don't like those words, brothers and sisters, if it's in the Bible, like it. Or if you don't like it, believe it and practice it. We don't like the word hate, but the scripture says, do not I hate them that hate thee, O God. That's something I want in my life. I want to hate the enemies of God. But the Bible informs me more fully that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I don't need to be going around hating people. What do we wrestle against? Against principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. Well, there we know such beings exist. There is that old serpent. There is that great dragon. There is the devil. There is Satan. So in hating him, you don't hate the people that he's misled and trapped and oppressed. You hate what he is doing, the things he's bringing about. Not them as people, but what he is causing them to do that so often hurts other people. So here we are in James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Part of what we should do is push back against the devil. And you say, well, who am I? This is a being that's at least 6,000 years old, and he's got unimaginable powers for me. How can I do that? The scripture tells us this: greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. Who is he that is within the world? The prince of the world. There's another title for the great dragon, the old serpent, the devil, the Satan. Jesus Christ calls him the prince of this world. And the scripture says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Well, what does that mean? Who's in you? There is a mystery that's been hidden through the ages, but now is revealed to the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. By grace, Jesus Christ has come within you. That's why you believe in him. And that presence within you is greater than the prince of this world. So when the scripture says resist the devil and he will flee from you, it means just what it says. You push back against this mighty and cruel and terribly clever being, but you push back against him following God's leadership and God's word, and he will flee from you. It doesn't mean he'll stay away all your life. He has a tendency to come back and launch another attack. But you will know a season of peace resisting the devil, and he will flee from you. How do we resist the devil? I just want to give you three ways. I don't think that's a comprehensive lesson, but at least I think it's a useful lesson. How do we push back against Satan? How do we resist the devil? And the first way I want to mention is that we should resist him respectfully. You know, if you've got an enemy that's a serious enemy, don't underestimate them. Don't get proud. Don't get cocky. Don't take it for granted. Be respectful about this. I want to read a portion from the book of Jude. We're talking about the great archangel Michael that won that battle described in Revelation chapter 12. And he's saying something about a time that Michael had a contention against the devil. This says in Jude, verse 9, yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. Now Jude is writing about people that speak evil of dignities, that there's no respect in their language, that there is no civility, there's no politeness. They're not afraid to mock at people and to denigrate authorities. He says, even Michael, that great that great archangel, when he was disputing with the devil over the body of Moses, that he durst not, that he wouldn't bring against him a railing accusation, but simply said, "The Lord rebuke thee." What's going on there? Do you remember in the Old Testament, Moses died up on a hilltop, mountaintop, overlooking the land of Canaan. God says, "You'll see it all, but you won't go in." That's what happened. Moses died on the hilltop. And then in Deuteronomy chapter 4, we read that he buried him, that is, God buried Moses, in a sepulcher in the plains of Moab, and no man knoweth of his sepulcher unto this day. That means Moses died up on the mountaintop, and the Lord himself took the body of Moses down into the plains of Moab to a sepulcher that we don't know where it is, and buried Moses. And now the New Testament in Jude reveals to us that something happened on the way as the Lord was commanding this transportation, this funeral procession to go down the mountain into the plains to bury Moses. Satan came to contend. He wanted to disrupt this process. Maybe he wanted to possess the body of Moses. And so there was a disputation. There was a contention there over the body of Moses. And Michael, the archangel who was contending with the devil, didn't say, "You lousy enemy of the Lord that's worthless and no good and sorry and you just depart," and all that. He simply said, this is a respectful contention, he respectfully and simply said, "The Lord rebuke thee." That is, the Lord has commanded what's going to be done with this body, and it's going to be done. So he just respectfully pushed back against the devil, and Moses' body got buried exactly where it was supposed to be. What about Moses himself? Well, he appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration to speak with Jesus Christ about Jesus' death that he would accomplish in Jerusalem. So Moses himself went to be with the Lord, but his body got buried in a hidden sepulcher by the Lord, even though Satan didn't want it to happen. So here's what I'm saying. When you are resisting the devil, don't get proud about it. Don't get cocky about how godly we are, about how faithful we are, about how much we know about the Scriptures, about how much we do for other people, about how we start commanding this and that and all the, you know. You don't do that. Resistance against the devil is respectful. It's quiet. It's reverent, not to the devil, reverent to God, but still not underestimating this enemy, just simply refusing to do what he wants and doing what God commands. When you resist the devil, resist him respectfully. Resist him scripturally. You remember how the Lord went through the days of temptation? After Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, was baptized, the Spirit led him into the wilderness, and he was there fasting for 40 days in the wilderness. And after he had fasted, the devil came to him and tempted him. And he tempted him and said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." And how did the Lord resist the devil? With a scripture. He said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God." Wow. The Lord uses Scripture. Should we not be armed with Scripture ourselves? We shouldn't get proud about our ability to remember or quote Scripture. We ought to simply bring it up when we need it for this resistance. Then the devil took him up on the pinnacle of the temple and decided to use some Scripture himself. "If thou be the Son of God," he said, "cast thyself off the pinnacle of the temple, for it is written," here we go to Psalm 91, "He shall give his angels charge over thee, and in their hands shall they bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." And the Lord Jesus Christ came back with another Old Testament scripture, and he said, "It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." So the devil took him upon a high mountaintop and showed him the kingdoms of the world in a short period of time. And he said, "All this and the glory of these kingdoms is delivered to me. To whomsoever I will, I give it. I will give it to thee if thou wilt bow down and worship me." And the Lord again answered scripturally. He said, "Get thee behind me, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God only, and him alone shalt thou serve." And the devil departed from him for a season. What does that "get thee behind me"? I think it was a quiet and a respectful resistance and acknowledgement that Satan was not the giver in this relationship. You don't give me kingdoms and glory or withhold them. You don't give or withhold from me anything. Jesus Christ, as God, gave or withheld from whomsoever he pleased. I think it was a quiet and a respectful notification to Satan, "Get behind me, because I am your master. I am your boss." He wasn't being proud or cocky or boastful about it, simply recognizing the relationship that existed there. He was indeed the Son of Man, but he was still the boss over the devil because he was the Son of God as well. He didn't need to prove it. It was so. Didn't need to convince himself. He knew. Sometimes people think that Jesus Christ went around through his 33 years wondering who he was, wondering if he was the one, trying to figure out what his identity was. That's just not scripture. As a matter of fact, when he was on trial and the high priest finally saw that his prosecution was falling apart, the high priest stood up and said, "I adjure thee by the living God, tell me, art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" And Jesus Christ said, "I am. And henceforth thou shalt see the Son of Man seated on the right hand of power and coming in glory." See, Jesus Christ knew who he was. He knew he was the Messiah. He knew he was the Son of God. I think he knew it early. At 12 years old, he told his mother, "Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" He knew who he was. The Lord Jesus Christ had no identity crisis at all. And if you and I can see ourselves by grace as the adopted children of God, it will help us not to have identity crises. So the Lord resisted the devil respectfully, and he resisted the devil spiritually. And then to conclude, I want to say that he resisted the devil submissively. And that's what's in the text. Right before it says, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you," the entire verse says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you." We resist the devil by submitting ourselves to God. "Lord, what would you have me to do? Is there a commandment out there, Lord, that I have not kept? Did you command me to forgive someone and I haven't done it yet? Did you command me to be baptized and I haven't done it yet? Did you command me, Lord, to read my scriptures and I haven't done it yet? Did you command me to pray for someone, Lord, and I haven't done it yet?" If you really want to resist the devil, the best way you can do it is by submitting yourselves to God. "For greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world." The Lord Jesus Christ showed us the example of this submission too. Do you remember his prayer in Gethsemane? He bowed down a stone's throw away from Peter, James, and John, who were a little closer than the other eight disciples. And Judas was there bringing the crowd to arrest him. And as he prayed, "Abba, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." And so he yielded himself to that arrest, and he submitted himself to the will of God. He went to the cross by the will of God. And by the will of God, he suffered those wicked hands to nail his feet and hands to the cross. And submitting himself to the will of God, he suffered the mockery and the shame. And submitting himself to the will of God, he was made to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He, the Son of God, the Son of Man, was the Lamb of God, submitting himself to the law of God in order to satisfy the righteousness of God for the adopted children of God. He submitted himself unto the Lord. And did he resist the devil thereby? Yes, he did. Before he went to the cross, he says, "Hereafter I will not talk with you much, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me." I firmly believe that in the darkness, when the Lord was made to be sin for us and paid until the price was paid and said, "It is finished," that he stomped his heel upon the head of the serpent. You say, "Well, does that mean Satan is dead?" No, but he's dying. And if you've ever been around a snake that's had his head stomped and he's still thrashing around, you don't want to be near him because he's still got venom in his fangs and he's still moving around. And I think that's the way Satan is. He walks to and fro as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Stay away from him. Be sober. Be vigilant. Resist him. But his power has been broken. And the manifestation of that will occur when the Lord comes back. What should we do in the meantime? Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Would you like a season of peace in your life? Push back against the enemy. Submit yourselves and confess the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, dear God, thank you, Lord, for this time together. Thank you for these that are met here, assembled here, Lord, to worship you. Thank you for the songs we've been blessed to sing, the prayers we've been blessed to hear. Thank you, dear God, for hearing our prayers and the little children that have been born recently. Please bless them and their lives. Bless their parents with patience and wisdom, a good sense of humor, and what they need in order to order the lives of their children rightly. Oh, Father, we pray that we who've been blessed to be parents would continue to be so throughout our lives. Bless us, Lord. Thank you for children's children. Father, we pray that you help us to see the promise come true, that if we repent and are baptized, that we shall be blessed with the gift of the Holy Ghost, Lord, for the promises unto us and to our children and to our children's children, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Forgive us our sins, O God. Please help us to repent as individuals. Help us to repent as a local church. Help, Lord, your children throughout all nations to repent and turn toward you. And help us to find the blessing of your presence and closeness. Dear God, help us to resist the devil, to stand, to withstand, to put on the whole armor of God, O Lord. Help us, Lord, to see victory even on a day-to-day basis in our lives until you come again and reveal that great victory that we have in our Savior. Oh God, thank you, and please guide us. Give us your wisdom. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.